So, as we pointed out, this will be a free-flowing shiur on a topic that's, you know, on one hand, no gea to you, on the other hand, maybe not even thinking about it, and that's the topic of shiduchim. I know that that's always on your mind, right? I even think about it. No. So, the parshios that we're in, of course, last week's parsha, very specifically. It's okay. Chai Yisara very much is called the parsha of Shiduchim because we get our first shidduch there in Eliezer and his great stuff there. But to be honest, really, this week's parsha as well, and next week's parsha even more so, because we see what Yaakov had to go through to find Rachel and get tricked, v'chulu. And Shiduchim is something that sounds surprising to us, but I joked, you know, it applies to me. It even applies to me. Because when you're married, you have to realize that one of the hardest parts of me being in Bidud is being able to spend time with my wife. Because of the fact that we have a date. We try to have a date every single week. So we go out, even though it's not such a fancy ride. It's not because it's only, you know, going to the supermarket together and going out to lunch. And COVID, of course, affected that. Every other day this is closed, that's closed. But we've tried to do that, and it gives us a chance, you know, to be alone. And unfortunately for me, I will from today probably start, now that the weather's a little bit nicer, the process. My wife likes going walking with me. Come on, she goes, come on, fatso, let's go, we're going walking. But she's very fit. But it gives you a chance to focus on what's really important in your life, your marriage. And for you guys, and anybody else that's going to be listening to this, I think the topic of Shiduchim is very important, what to look for in a girl. So it's going to be a little bit different than the lessons from the Lev. You could still listen to that recording because it's going to be a little bit, probably a lot of different. And the question is, what should I be looking for? So as much as I was going to focus on the guy part, we could be interchangeable to girls, although if I remember, I'll give a little bit two-minute thing for girls what they should look for, although it's, I think, very similar. So I remember sitting in a similar seat that you were sitting, although I was a little bit older than you. I really was in the Parsha Shiduchim. One fine year in YU started in October. They decided that instead of starting on like September 1st, they would start after the Chagim, because the Chagim were all on Monday, Tuesdays, one of those things where it just made no sense. So you basically had a whole cool Elulzman. And we decided, a bunch of us, to go to Eretz Yisrael. I had gone to Yeshivat HaKotel back in the Rabina days. And Rabina was very gracious, to provide for us a learning program just for guys that were taking the month off. Rav Moshe Tarragon at the time, amazing Rav Moshe Tarragon from Haratzion, taught us. This is before he was a Rebbe there. He taught us. He came in every morning to teach us Gemara Kedushin. I still have the notebook. And it was an awesome, awesome month. And we were more mature at the time. And I was really in the Parsha of Shiduchim. Hopefully my wife won't listen to this. Here, I was actually dating someone very, very seriously who ended up not becoming my wife in Israel and in America. No. That's what everybody thinks, you know. Why did you go for 2.5 weeks to America? It's been 7 months since I saw my family. So, in truth, and I wasn't sure. And I think that part of the hard part, and I think why I don't consider myself an expert in a lot of things, but I dated many, many girls. My wife was date number 24. I dated 24 different girls. Girls. Yeah. So that's a lot. That's a lot. Levator, you'd have to ask, right? So I really think I had the experience. And I've said this, and I say it again, and I hope the person's not listening, this on YU Torah, but the first girl that I dated, if I married her, I'm like 99% sure I would be divorced today. She was not right for me. But she loved me. She treated me so well. She was like the nicest girl in the world, and she really liked me. We just didn't have a lot in common, you know? But I was so enamored by the fact, first of all, my friends were like, oh my God, she's so hot, you know, like... This is an important point, and I'm saying things that are very personal to me because I want to try to help you. That it's not all about that. And the reason why I tell you the story of coming back during that time is a few reasons. Reason number one is we had a shiur from the great Rav Yaakov Katz, who was the Rosh Kollel at the time. Now he's the Rosh Kollel in the Tivari. Really an amazing, amazing individual. And Rav Katz We went personally over to his home. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was, I'm 100% sure, it was during Sukkot, and he invited us to his sukkah, just us, Yechidus, to discuss Shidduchim. And it was scary, because when it comes to Rabbeim, so I try not to be bashful, and I sat all the way in the front. And they sat in the front, and so I could hear everything he had to say, and he pointed to me. And I said, let me ask you a question. When you go out with the girl, you're going out with the girl? I'm like, yeah. How'd you know? Wow. You know, this is like, you know, Sushi, what's his name? Lior Sushar. You're going out with a girl. I know this, you know. And he said, so is she pretty? And I'm like, what? This is not a Rabbina ass. This is Rabbi Yaakov Katz. I'm like, yeah, she's pretty. He goes, why? Why do you care? I'm like, what? He goes, Katuv, it says in Mishlei, Sheker Achein Behelva Yofi, last week's Hespeit for Sari Menu, or this week, right? Chais or whatever week you think it is, told us this week's, okay? Right? Sheker Achein Behelva Yofi, a chutzpah. Are you a firm guy? How do you marry somebody who's pretty? Sheker Achein Behelva Yofi, Isha Yiras Hashem. So I said, well, she's also Yiras Hashem. Right? So another guy raises his hand, and he says, my girlfriend's ugly. You know? No. He says, you're right. It doesn't matter. Looks shouldn't matter at all. Right, to really get to me. Looks shouldn't matter at all. You're right. He says, is that really true? If it says sheker, she says no. The Gra explains, and this is an ikur vort, and I actually used this vort when I got engaged. The night I got engaged, I did something interesting. I did a lot of things interesting. I tricked my wife. I was like Yaakov Avinu with his father. I told her that we're not, I made up a whole story, which made her a little nervous. She was like, if you could dupe me this much. So I told her we can't get engaged. And I told her that I wanted to get engaged on Lag BaOmer. Because I told her the Svarim HaKadoshim speak about how Lag BaOmer, I made up this whole thing, I don't know. The fire of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is like the fire of marriage. Eish and Isha and Eid, I don't know. Eish and Isha, okay. Anyway, so I tricked her. So we got engaged on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Chol HaMoed, sorry, Pesach. I think April 15th, tax day. And it was a very, very, very nice day. So at the L'chaim, a lot of cool things about the story, but not for now. But at the L'chaim, at my in-law's house, so I was Messiah, not such a big deal, but I finished all of Pirkei Avos. While I was scared to death about getting engaged and everything working out well, I said to myself, I want to learn the Iyun something. And to come, one of my rabbeim, Rav Meir Goldbach, was very into, when you have an auspicious event, right, even if it's just a birthday party, whatever, it should be Torah, there should be something. So I was Messiah. Pirkei Avos is pretty easy. I'm Pirkei Avos. So I ended off with this idea. The last Mishnah, Kodesh Mashash Baruch, Kodesh Baruch Hu, everything that Hashem, we have to learn is for us. Everything is with Hashem's will, and the Shidduch is this is what Hashem, as it said in last week's Parsha, Hashem Yatzo. Hadover Eliezer says that this came from the Ribbono Shalom. All the tests and everything we did at the end of the day, it's all Hashem. So I use the vort. So Rav Yaakov Katz says the following. He says, the Gra says, Sheker Achein Behelva Yofi, that's not true. See, I don't know if you're so good at math. I'm not so good at math. That's why I'm like the CFO, really. I'm the CEO, but really the CFO. I'm the money guy. So I always joke. I'm not good with numbers, though. So that's why we have calculators. So listen to this. He says like this. This is a hard question. If you don't know the answer, this is fine. Right? What's 0 plus 0?
Zero.
Wow. Okay, good. Wow. Well, I thought this was a lower share. Okay, good. So 0 plus 0 is 0. So if you have Hevla Yofi, if you have looks, and you have a good body, and you dress nicely, and shit, it's 0 plus 0 plus 0. It's nothing. But, says the Gra, if you have Isha Yiras Hashem, that's the one that goes in front of everything else. And one with a 0 and another 0 and another 0 and another 0 and another 0, now you got a big number. I don't know what number it is. A big number, right? So you got to start with the foundation of Isha Yiras Hashem. So how do we find the Isha Yiras Hashem, right? There's no Shiloh. I'm being serious now. You have to look for a girl who you find attractive. And it's amazing, right? Sometimes we see girls and we say to the husband, dude, what? Seriously? Are you blind? What happened, you know?
He's like, Isha Yiras Hashem, he says, Allah. Oh, be quiet.
No, really. He's like, no, she gained 20 pounds, and then 40 pounds, and then 60 pounds, and then 80 pounds, whatever. And now she's on a show on TLC called My 600 Pound.
Oh, my God.
So yes. Not me, Chas V'Shalom, not Baruch Hashem, I'm lucky, right? But it's Emes. Emes is, and the wife and the husband have to work on this in marriage, right? They have to love each other, but there has to be an attraction there. It's halacha. Even the most strict, the Hasidim, who see the girl like once or twice, the whole reason why they actually have a first meeting is because they have to look at them and say they're attracted to them. If you notice at a wedding, one of the cool parts of the wedding is the veiling ceremony, which is from next week's parasha, right? Where we unveil the girl, we veil her actually, we put the veil on. In the Hasidish world, they actually put a real veil where you can't see anything. I actually was, my catering company did a wedding, and a few weeks ago, in New York, it's very hard to have weddings now, so a lot of people are moving to New Jersey. So we have a wedding hall, congregation, Keter Torah, Romer. So it was a Hasidish wedding. It was a Chabad wedding. So when the girl walked down the aisle, like literally she had, this is what she looked like. The mothers had to, it was two, the two mothers walked down, that's their custom, and she couldn't see anything. But what's the reason? You have to look at the girl, because of what happened with Rachel and Leah from next week's parasha, right? And say, this is the girl. This is, some people say from last week's parasha, that you should say the pasuk, that, you know, this is the one that I've chosen. Some people have Edim there even. Because you have to say, this is the beautiful girl that I want. So beauty is not, it's not sheker, but it can't be the basis of what your marriage is on, right? It can't just be the supermodel. There's got to be something there. Isha yiras Hashem, he says Allah. And by the way, I know we were joking about it, but when she, you know, when when you wake up in the morning, you know, the night after, and realize that she doesn't, every date you went on, she was wearing makeup and she looked beautiful, you know, and then you wake up, you know, the morning after the wedding and you see what she really looks like in the morning, you go, ah! You know, you go, right? Okay, there has got to be more that it's based on, that it's not just Sheker Achein Ve'el Vayofi. And that would be this, I was teaching the guys something totally not related before, and they were shocked by this, Gemara in Tana, Staf Chav Dalet. You could look it up, it's a real Gemara. The Gemara says, Kol Kala, She'eino Yafos, any Kala, any girl you're going out with who has pretty eyes, Kol Gufa, Ain't Sarach Bedika. When a bride has beautiful eyes, that's a sign that she's beautiful all over. Interesting. And by the way, this is the Corona Gemara, right? You're going out with her. She's got these gorgeous eyes, right? And then what happens? You go out one day, two days, 3 days. Now it's date number four, and they unmask her. And she's like, hello. And you're like, oh my God, those blue eyes? Oh, wow. That was a mistake. But, so what do we say? So the Gemara is saying, the Klei Yakar asks this question, and he says like this, the Klei Yakar says, I don't understand. First of all, I know plenty of women, as I just said, this is Klei Yakar says, I didn't make this up. I know plenty of women who have beautiful eyes and are not so pretty. Number two, are you seriously teaching us this? I just taught you Sheker Achein Ve'el Vayofi, she has a Klei Yakar, you show your ass Hashem Dadu. What? If she has beautiful eyes, that's the girl I should marry? Right? I'm very lucky. My wife has actually gorgeous, beautiful blue eyes. So that's it? I shouldn't look at anything else of her? Says the Klei Yakar, beautiful. The Gemara is telling us, says the Klei Yakar, that what does it mean, good eyes? It doesn't mean good eyes, physical eyes. She has an Ayin Tova. She looks at other people the proper, most appropriate and proper way. She does Gimlus Chasadim. She has a good eye towards others. She cares, she helps others. She has good Midos. That's very important, right? That's the Isha Yiras Hashem. It's not good eyes. The Gemara is obviously talking about that she has a good eye for people. And this is a very important thing. You got to do research before, right? So what is she involved? What does she do, right? Amongst the 25 girls I dated. So one of the girls, I remember asking her this question. I'm like, so what do you do with your free time, right? This is before social media. This is before... She's like, oh, I like to read books and the paper. Like, I know, but what do you, like, she doesn't learn Gemara. She doesn't, like, what do you do? So she wasn't involved in chesed or anything. Nothing. And it bothered me to no end. Like, what's my house going to be based on? She's not balas chesed. Yes, chesed starts in the home. She's got to do a lot of chesed with, you know, crazy people like me. But that's definitely part of this. Part of it is looking for the right person. Now, I shared this vort just across the hall from Rabagno at Rosh Kollel. He said a beautiful idea. If you think about the story of Eliezer from last week's parsha, it really seems like a strange story. And I'll explain to you why. It looks like what he looked for in a girl is basically what we look for in our girls. Because he was told that she, if you look at the psukim, she should be pretty, she should be nice. Let's remember who Sarah was, right? Right? A few weeks ago, Parsha, when Lech Lecha, when Avram Avinu is walking and he looks at the reflection of Sarah in the water and he's like, the pasuk says, "Hirei na isha yifas mara." You're beautiful. I don't think he said the word hot. You're beautiful. Hmm. So the Mefarshim asked the question: what, he never saw his wife before? He's not Asar? Don't we say you have to? Because no. First of all, she was so old already. He's like, wow, you're still so pretty. Or no, I'm now going to Mitzrayim. We're going to be in trouble. We're going to be. Abimelech's going to like you. Power's going to like you. I got a problem on my hands. So beauty clearly was something that Avram found. So Avram says, yeah. For Yitzchak, she's got to be pretty. Right? There's got to be a chemistry there. Again, everybody has different flavors. Just because somebody's... She finds her... Yes, he does daven that she has midos tovos. And it's interesting to point out that amongst the most coolest thing of last week's parasha is what happens. He asks for a sign from Hashem. Right? Imagine you're going out on a date and you really like this girl. And it's date number 5 or 6. You don't want to waste your time anymore. And you say, you walk into the date and you say, okay, God, just, I don't ask for it. I never asked for this before, but I need a sign. I need a serious sign that this is the girl. And something awesome happens that's like clear as day, right? She comes out and, you know, the sun rises and it's dark outside. I don't know, whatever. A rainbow comes over her and you see this rainbow. You're like, all right, this is God talking to me, right? I'll tell you a funny story in a second about this topic. How sometimes we don't know signs from Hashem. And that's not what happened here. He gets a sign. Eliezer sees Rachel. The water raises up.
Wow.
He's like, this is it. This is it. And he's like, no, that's not enough. Think what she had to do, Rivka. Disgusting. Okay, she gives him water. And she said, no. All my servants, all my camels, and we're not going to help you. You imagine these guys that are with the camels, his servants. Avram's one of the richest person in the world. He's got these big servants. They said, oh, no, we're not helping you, little girl. You do it yourself. And she does it, and she doesn't ask any questions. He's like, wow, she's a Balas Chesed. He doesn't want the natural miracles. So Rabagno asks, what's going on over here? Doesn't look so amazing. There wasn't something special and unique. The girl should be pretty. Got it. There should be a chemistry. Got it. She should be sneers, so she shouldn't have been with any other man. Okay. These are all like regular criteria. No nisim v'naflos. We don't want nisim v'naflos. Shabbat is chesed. So what's so special? Says the most important pasuk in last week's parasha, Mi Hashem yatsa hadavar. Every shidduch is God chosen. Hashem picks your shidduch. What's the raya? So he quotes from one of the Perushim on the Medrash, the Maharzo, who says the following. The Gemara tells us, a beautiful Gemara, Arbim Yom Kodem Yitzias Avlad, 40 days before a baby is born, a baskel comes out. Ben Ploni Laploni, Bas Ploni, Ben Ploni Labas Ploni, right? This is who you're going to marry. Sadel Ploni, this is where you're going to live. This is what your job, your neshama knows all the answers to the questions which you are asking yourself right now. All those questions. So, says the Maharzo, what does this mean? Because this is exactly what we're saying here. Your neshama knows it. Mi Hashem yatsa adavar, but you got to do something called teshtadlus. You can't just sit back and relax and say, my mom will find me my shidduch. That's not going to work out well, usually. Rav Victor Miller says, what is it? Why would a baskel come out when nobody hears it? He says, ooh, what do you mean nobody hears it? Your neshama heard it. Right now, your neshama knows 100% who you're going to marry. It knows 100% what job you're going to have, even though you might go through, like me, 4, 5, 6, 7 different types of careers in your life. But they know. Where are you going to live? Well, I lived in Bergenfield. Now I live in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, Mi Hashem Yatsa Adavar. But the key is Hishtadlus. I have to work on it. And here's the Chiddush, which I didn't say in my, this is for you guys only. And that is, the Chiddush is, you know what it means you have to work on it? You have to be Zeichet to such a girl. Right? You can't expect, let's say you're I had some weird aspirations in my life. I wanted to marry a michlala girl. I don't know why. Right? There's no michlala girl, stern. This, that, I had the whole thing, right? What was the pshat? But when I thought about it, and I tried to even, and the girls were like, I'm not going out with a guy who went to coat. You're a loser. I'm not going out with you. What's my ishtadlus? How much do I learn? What kind of house am I going to have? Is she going to want someone like me? And we said we were promised to talk about the girls. It's interesting to note that when Eliezer gives her gifts, they look like just regular gifts. Eliezer, it says, the pasuk says, "Vayikach ha'ish nezem zahav bika mishkalo v'shnei smidim el yadea asara zahav mishkalim." The Eliezer took a nose ring. It was in those days. It's coming back now, right? Gold studs in the nose. I'm not a fan at all. And it weighed a bika. Keep that in mind. A bika. And two bracelets on her arm that weighed 10 gold coins. Says Rashi on the pasuk, the two bracelets represent shtei luchos habris. Because it weighed 10. And the bika, what's the bika? Machzor shekel.
Oh.
What is it to remind us of? The world stands on Torah avodah gimlas chasadim. When you go look for that guy, he can't just have gimlas chasadim. He's got to have Torah v'avodah. And what's the ultimate? What happens? What happens? He approaches, this is the greatest part. She approaches him, and what is he doing? Suach basada. He's davening this new invented tefillah called mincha, which would never existed before. She doesn't really know what he's doing. And it says, suach basada is a different type of tefillah, Rabbi Sai. We should be zoicha that all our tefillah. Suach basada means the shpoch, right? We say in Tehillim that the highest level of tefillah, ki atov, b'fnei Hashem mishpoch sicho. I pour my heart out to him. I was listening to a shir on Motzei Shabbos by a great Rav, Rav Zicherman, Rav David Zicherman from one of the Eid HaCharedas Rabbanim, but he gives an amazing daf yomi. He always gives a vort before him. And he said that our davening is so out of rote, it has to be pouring out. When we get to Shema Kaleinu, I challenge you to do this every single day at Shema Kaleinu. Stop, right? You say, Shema Kaleinu, Shem Lekinu, Chus Rechem, Bekaba, Rachem, Vason, Est Tfilasenu. Kiel Shema, Tfilasen, Vatam, Rachem, Vakam, Shivenu, and then you're allowed to add stuff. And you go like this. Hey, Dad, what's going on? You don't have to say it like this. Avinu Malkeinu, Dad, here's what I need. Azai Chutzpah? No! Do you actually believe that? You say, Dad, here's what I need. And they're so mundane things. Right? I just did a corona test. Hashem, please let the corona test be negative. Let me get out of quarantine. Let my parents be well. Let my parents have nachas from me. Let all these mundane things. Or, I have a test today. I want to do well in this. Oh, in the middle of Shema Kaleinu, you asked me to do well in your chemistry test? What's wrong? No, that's a dad. The way you would talk to a father, that means you really believe in tefillah. Dad is pouring your heart out, saying, hey, I can only rely on you. I'm going to do my ishtalas, but me Hashem yotza adavar. So the girls, they got to look for the guy that has those three things too. Torah has to be important. You got to work on it. I said, I promise you, I'll tell you a story. I don't remember what I was talking about, but it's a good story. I remember it being a good story. Oh, it's good. A guy goes to the Kotel. Kotel is a very special place for these type of things. And he goes to the Kotel and he says, okay, Hashem, I need a sign. I know people ask for a sign. I want a sign. I'm going out with this girl. Everything appears to be, as we say in Yiddish, Iskahalten. Great. It's going well. I don't know why, I'm just not 100% sure. Not 100% sure. I heard a story last week of future cheer of Wayu Torah, Rabbi Leibowitz, Rabbi Ari Leibowitz tells a great story about a guy. You know, there's a custom. You have to know what a minhagim and what are halachas. There's a lot of halachas by the wedding. One minhag, which is a clear minhag, is that people have this minhag not to see their kalas a week before the wedding. It's a total minhag, based on basically nothing. Hey, you should, you know, when you see her, it's going to be amazing again. Okay. So he said there was a student of mine, he said, that I had, that was very an anxious guy. And the fact that he even got engaged was amazing, because he always questioned everything. So he calls his Rebbe, and he says, Rabbi Leibowitz, if I'm not with her, every morning I'm not with her, I'm gonna think to myself, maybe I shouldn't get married. Maybe she's right, because I'm always doubting myself. My wife always put me in the right place. And she said, this is right, this is okay. So he says, can I see her during the week? Because you have to see her during the week. You know, sometimes the wife, she's the one that put... So this guy's not sure. So he comes to the Rabbanu Shalom and he says, Hashem, I never asked you this. This is crazy, crazy. I need a sign. I need a sign. Wouldn't you believe? This is crazy. It's Koto. Screaming to Hashem, please, please, please. And out of nowhere, he sees in the air, somebody's sitter must have dropped. I don't know what happened exactly. A page from a sitter is coming down. And it falls onto a shtender. And he looks at the ripped piece from a sitter. And it says the words that we say when we put on our tefillin. That I'll be married. That greatest sign. Now, I once said this in front of the whole yeshiva. Parshas Chayasara. I gave a sicha to the entire yeshiva a number of years ago. And a kid raises his hand. Now, when I'm doing lessons on the lab, you don't ask. This guy was like, you know, one of these. I'm sure he's going to be like, can I go to the bathroom? And you're like, and he goes, that's a horrible story, Rabbi. I'm like, why? He goes, wasn't that the opposite? I go, what do you mean? The Erstich Li'olam is telling us that we're married to Hashem. We tie our tefillin to ourselves, right? Why don't we do that? We tie our tefillin. Why? To say everything. My whole body is for you, Hashem. Kolatz Moisa, right? I serve you, the Rav Adar Shalom. He says, wasn't that a sign to him that he shouldn't get married and should learn more Torah? And he should, I'm like, see how opposite messages? This guy really was, he was serious. He wasn't making a joke, right? So sometimes that's the way that it is. We get these opposite messages. We don't know which way to go. But ultimately, I quoted in Lessons from the Lathe, the Chabina Rav's, Rav Bitterman quotes the Chabina Rav. They said, Rebbe, can you help us out? What should we look for in our shidduch? And he says, I'm going to give you the key to all shidduchim. You only need to look for three things. You know, when you're a real estate agent, they tell you that there are three important things in selling a home. So the Chabina Rav says the three most important things about a girl to find is midos, midos, midos. She needs to have midos. Right? And in our parsha, we see a very strange thing. This is what I said on Lessons from the Lathe. The Drash HaSharan asks a question. At the end of the parsha, at the beginning of the parsha, we're told that, by the way, Rivka married Avram. I'm sorry, Rivka married Yitzchak. And she was from Padan Aram, from Besuel, Lavan. What are you reminding me of this? I know this already. Rashi says to remind us where she came from. She did not come from the greatest house in the world, it seems. But then at the end of the parsha, when Yaakov Avinu is asked to leave, his father gives him a real bracha, knowing exactly who he is this time. And he says, you got to promise me you're going to not do like your brother did, although later he married Yishmael's daughter. He married from Canaan. Don't marry a daughter from Canaan. Remember how you said to Eliezer? Swear to me that you won't marry, that my son, you won't find anybody from Canaan. Don't take a shortcut. Go to Padam Aram. What was so special? That's the Drash HaSharan. You know what was so special? Those families were known for midos. Even though at the core, there was midos there. Even though Lavan is the most rotten person we've ever known. He was horrible. Sleuthsayer, liar, everything, cheater. Everything in business you don't want. But at the core, there was midos there. We see those midos, by the way, with Rachel and Rivka, Leah and Rachel. What happened? The fact that she wants her husband so badly, and she says to her a sister, you could have him. I'm not going to embarrass you. Those are midos. So there's something there of the midos tovos. The concept, again, of what to look for, and the hishtadlus is very important as well. And I want to spend just a few minutes on this very important point. Because it's hard for you to think of this now. Shir bet, the foundation that you're setting in this shir bet really is your foundation for the rest of your life. Right? There's, first of all, I always say this, we always have this line, right? You should always marry up. You should always marry a girl who's more religious. And there are rabbeim who literally say this is the wrong statement to make. But I believe one of my greatest things in my life is that my wife has always pushed me on a spiritual level. When we first made Aliyah, within a week of making Aliyah, we all received a very strange virus. It was almost like a extreme 10 times what jet lag feels. It was something that was going around. and it just made you tired. You slept all day. It was crazy. And I was sleeping. It was like embarrassing almost, because like it didn't look like there was anything wrong with you, and you're just sleeping. Like Shana Aleph guys get all the time. You know, like this fake disease. My epidermis was showing. Okay, so
yeah.
And it was. So when I was awake and I was able to, I would start unpacking, and after like it seems like 3-4 weeks probably, my wife's like, so what's going on with you? Like, get out of the house. Go find the basement just to learn it. Go find something. I had nothing to do with Levatar. I didn't know what Levatar is anymore. Go find a place. Do something. I remember that part pushing me. You know? And when I was going for Smicha, it was so hard, it was so difficult, and we had to make time for it, and at the end we were trying so hard, a group of us, to get Smicha, that we would two nights a week from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock sit in an office building going over the material so we could take the Bechina, and she pushed me, go. Spiritually, you got to be pushed sometimes. You want to have a wife who's going to say to you, no, you don't down be a chidus. What are you doing? I'm not talking about Corona. You down with a minion. What is going on? They set you up for spiritual success. That's very important. But you have to be someone who has that in them. That doesn't say, what are you talking about? You're never going to marry a wife like that if you're not like that, if you don't care about Mincha, if you don't care about Torah. Right? It's hard to think now about your future and saying that your kid's going to come to you like my son did last night. Sunday night, I don't work Sundays. And he's like, okay, I have all this homework. I'm like, it's 8 o'clock, and I'm like, oh my God. Gemara, Chumash, Navi, you know, everything you can imagine. And you're going to be that father, be like, you got to call a tutor, I don't understand any of this. You know? So you have to establish for yourself what you are and who you are. Again, let's understand who the Avos were. Yitzhak and Yaakov, Nishpashut, who they were going to marry. Because they were such wonderful, amazing people who set the standard not only in Torah. The amazing thing about this week's Parsha and Yaakov Avinu is that Yitzchak, and there's a lot of Mefarshim that explain why he thought Esav should take over, many said that he understood who he was. There's an incorrect idea, which maybe we thought of in kindergarten, or maybe we saw pictures of this Yitzchak guy, Nebuch. He was this little blind guy, right? He was blind. He got blind, we know, because of, you know, Hara Moriah, Akedus Yitzchak, and he couldn't see anything, so he didn't know. Nebuch, he's a blind guy, he doesn't know anything. No. You see, what happened was, is that he had, and I believe the Medrash says this, he had the tears of the Malachim. He was kulo tov. He couldn't see bad in people. I'm not saying he wasn't blind. He knew what his son was. He got the whispers from people of what was going on. But he said that, if I give him the Bukhari, he's going to have to be good. And I'll give you a raya. You have a concept called Yisachar Zvulun. Where you have this concept. It's a concept in Halacha that exists until today, where people support kolels, and they say, you be the Yisachar. You sit and learn. I can't learn as much. I'll go out, Zvulun, B'tzeisach. I'm going to go out in the ships and the hard stuff. Which, by the way, Dafka was ships, because you need the most amunah to that. If you've ever watched the show on TV called The Deadliest Catch, these people can die in a second. You have a moon in Hashem, because it's a difficult profession. That's exactly what's going on over here. So Yitzchak said, maybe if I give them the Bechor, he'll support. And what's my proof that'll support my other son, Yaakov? He gives stucca. He asks Shiloh even about giving stucca on salt, right, when he tried to trick him. So he didn't know 100%. And Rivka, with her Bina Yisera, her Nevuah, said, no, Yaakov, you're going to take it. Because you're going to prove that you're not all about Torah. You can also do the physical. You got to have both. Let's remind ourselves, Yaakov is our forefather that instituted the tefillah of Ma'ariv, which is interesting. Because if you think about it, shouldn't Avram have invented Arvit? We're not Goyim. We don't... Right. It's the day starts with the night. So why isn't the first tefillah? I never thought of this before. Yeah. Think about this. Right? So it should be Avram should be the night tefillah. So it was Dafka picked out that it should be Yaakov's tefillah, because the tefillah of the night is you know, quote unquote, that scary tefillah. You know, when unfortunately the suicide rate when they change the clock is much higher, besides for the holidays that come. But when there's so much dark, right, when it gets dark at 4:30, right, it's very hard for people. Right? The winter months are a very hard time. It gets dark so early, people get sad. People get depressed. Besides for the holidays and the you know, family, whatever it might be, and COVID, okay, yeah, quarantine. 2 weeks of quarantine, I get it now. Right? It's not easy. But there has to be an appreciation for understanding what we can accomplish, what Hashem wants of us. Yaakov Avinu is now going to prove this Ma'ariv Tefillah, that I'm going to take you into Golus. He's the going to Mitzrayim. Remind ourselves. He had to go, because he was the forefather that went into Golus with us. The night tefillah. Avram's the opposite. Avram's the light at the end of the tunnel. Rav Soloveitchik says, Ayelat HaShachar, it's the darkest time right before it hits Netzach Amon. That's what he was all about. He found the Ribbono Shalom. He saw the sun rise. He saw the Ribbono Shalom. And Mincha, by the way, makes sense. That's Yitzchak's tefillah. Because Lifnois Eres, he was the Midas Hadin. Mincha, number one, the Gemara says, is the most makabel tefillah of all the tefillahs. You know why? Because it's the hardest tefillah of the day. This is a perfect example of it, right? You only have from 12:45 until 4:40 to daven. That's it. You're done. You're in the middle of the business world. Good luck with that. And that's the test, as I just said about Yeshudach. Are you one of those guys? My wife knows, unfortunately for her, that I would go crazy. I would be that guy who would during the date be like, I got to go find a mincha. And he's like, oh, here we go. My dates would revolve around what time we're down with mincha so I could find the location. Not so pasha. I get it. In any case, I think that the quality of finding a good shidduch, yes, is chesed. She should be well-rounded that she wants from you as well Torah v'yavoida and gimel chasadim. And we learn this from the Avos. We learn this from our parashas. This is an important thing for us to have. Shabbat shalom to only good things. Bracha v'yatzlacha b'chol maaseh yedeichem.